Our scripture lesson today comes from Paul's letter to the church in Galatia, Galatians chapter 1, and we'll begin with verse 1. Hear the word of God. Paul, an apostle, sent neither by human commission nor from human authorities, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the members of God's family who are with me. To the churches of Galatia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to set us free from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I am shocked that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another gospel, but there are some who are confusing you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should proclaim to you a gospel contrary to what we proclaim to you, let that one be accursed. As we have said before, so I now repeat, if anyone proclaims to you a gospel contrary to what you received, let that one be accursed. Am I now seeking human approval or God's approval? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still pleasing people, I would not be a servant of Christ. For I want you to know, siblings in Christ, that the gospel that was proclaimed by me is not of human origin. For I did not receive it from a human source, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. I don't know how many of you huddled in your basements, closets, and hallways Thursday evening as the tornadoes roared into our surrounding counties, but the ferocity of Thursday's weather had nothing on Paul's explosive temperament shown in this text. Did you hear the absolute contempt for anyone who tries to dilute the gospel? Now, the scripture I just read for you was calm, and it was a steady reading. I read it for meaning. I used evocative pauses and expressive pacing in the way that I have been taught and in the way I uphold. But trust me when I say it has nothing whatsoever to do with the fury that comes forth in the Greek in this passage. It really goes something like this. Galatians, you sniveling idiots. You are traitors to the gospel of Christ and to his life. You are passive, weak. You stoop to believing those who turn up and say, only Jews can follow the Lord. You pervert the gospel, you perverts. You abandon the Lord, you abandoners. So someone has to be an authority. And it's not them who came wandering in, and it's certainly not you. It is only Jesus the Messiah and God the Father who raised him from the dead. Now that was a gentle reading. I never learned the curse words that I know some have in Greek, but I know they were sprinkled all over this letter, either by Paul in his mind or others. Can't you just see him writing this letter from some far-off region, perhaps from prison, feverishly pacing with a fist in the air? There's no peace to you or Galatians, whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown. None of that. He doesn't give thanks. He's just incensed because news has reached him that the Galatians have succumbed to an exclusive gospel meant only for those who follow Moses. Dan Clendenin puts it this way: Paul uses the harshest possible language to repudiate those who have narrowed the gospel down to a Jewish sect. Paul's gospel was about expanding the message to include Gentiles, Gentiles being non-Jews, any person in the world. And this is why Paul said that in serving God, he didn't seek human approval. If you want human approval, then you privilege your own in-group over every other group. You limit God's love to your own clan and claim to be the sole inheritor of the divine promise. The true gospel that Paul defends is one that expands the love of Christ to all people without exception. In Galatians, Paul says, the gospel of our Lord bursts our normal boundaries of exclusion, like race and religion and gender and sex and class. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ. It takes a lot of practice to appreciate Paul. It has in my life. Most of my life, I have misunderstood him. Most of my life, I've been fighting him. And most of my life, I've been afraid of him. He is a tidal wave of rage. And he has a way of thinking and writing, and I realize that his letters were written in the first century, in the first years of the first century, but I don't understand. It's not the way I think. I have to take his letters and take them small phrase by small phrase, by small phrase, bite by bite by bite, to even get the meaning. But when I realized that the oldest writings of the New Testament come from Paul, it doesn't really start with Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, does it? It starts with the letters of Paul. And that half of the New Testament is attributed to Paul and his followers. Then we can take a new look at why his fury turns out to be such a gift. And I love him for that. Because sometimes we need to be shocked and shaken out of our greeting card faith, out of our soft, indulgent faith, out of our lethargic, docile faith. And instead, we need to be plunked down by tornado like Dorothy in the middle of Munchkin Land and into the vortex of faith where we're drop-kicked to the cross, where Christ crucified is not a soft pillow to sleep on, but a fountain of deliverance and rebirth. Many years before I was a pastor, I was a pastoral counselor, and I served at the Northeast Career Center, which was housed in the Lutheran Church of the Messiah, just down Nassau Street. And the Northeast Career Center was founded by our General Assembly in 1965, a long time ago, as a place where people could come, church folks and clergy and those thinking about ministry, and there were 12 centers founded all over the country, usually near a Presbyterian seminary. It was a place to go and do the work of vocational discernment. And through a series of evaluations and assessments and some deep conversation, we on the staff guided people to evaluate their work and their life and to ask some central questions of faith. Who is God calling you to be? How is God calling you to serve? And what do you need to get there? You know, it was extraordinary work. I loved it. I was there for 7 years, and every day was amazing to sit with people, sometimes groups, sometimes individuals, and to delve into these questions. And what I found, and I include myself, is that the number one thing that holds people back from full maturity in Christ and being able to answer those questions is having issues with authority. And what I mean is, just like the Galatians, we struggle to be obedient to Christ. We are always prone to take the easier, softer way. We fight against those in authority, authority over us and on behalf of us. Seminarians have a hard time with this. And I try to remind them that if they're going to be in the work of the church, they're not the boss. We battle sometimes passively, sometimes aggressively against the ties that bind. But in the end, I've come to learn that we're not so much a people who have issues with authority. We are people who have issues with obedience. And to whom are we in obedience? Jesus Christ, our Lord. Jesus Christ, our Lord. For Christ has died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. It is Jesus Christ who prays for us. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. Behold, the old life is gone and a new life has begun. And when we rely on our own way, the effects on our lives are devastating. Our willfulness destroys us. Our disobedience leads to terrible decision-making. Our self-indulgence annihilates our souls and breaks up our families and puts an end to relationships. But day by day, when we seek to live the gospel life, and inch by inch, when we offer ourselves in obedience to our Lord, we heal and we find a new freedom and we are restored and we are enlivened and we find a joy that we've never known, a grounding, a daily action that puts us in God's hands. It's such a relief. Where else would we want to be? We offer ourselves to our Lord, the same one who gave up authority for us, who was obedient to the point of death, and the same one who gives us his body and his blood. In obedience, and enjoy. Take, eat. In obedience and in joy, take and drink. For these are the gifts of God, and they are for you. For each one of you is God's beloved. Thanks be to God.